Welcome back to the table, ladies, for our segment two today. We are back in our second day of First Peter, and our teacher, Connie Stample, is here with us at the table. Connie, welcome back.
Hello. Yes.
We are going to be talking today, I understand, about who Peter was.
Yes, I think, you know, as we read this letter he wrote, it'd be good to kind of review who he is. And interestingly enough, Amy, besides Jesus Christ, he is the person who's most talked about in the Gospels.
I never would have guessed that. I thought it might have been maybe John.
Yeah, I mean, well, as you think about it, though, I mean, Peter's always saying something or doing something.
Yeah.
I think so.
We talked yesterday a little bit about what we were going to talk about today and in the intro, and we come to find that Peter is a very changed man from the time we first meet him until these letters were written.
Yes, and again, it's all by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And how God can change a person. And can really conform them to the image of Jesus Christ.
And that's what we see going on here. It's nothing that we can do, and we can't really change ourselves, but God has to do that.
Yes.
Well, where should we start with this lesson today?
Well, I was going to just refer to some scriptures and kind of paint a general picture of Peter, the man, as we find him in the Gospels. And then we'll be talking a little bit about Peter, the empowered man who actually became a bold leader of the church. We know that from the Gospels, Peter had a brother named Andrew, and actually Andrew is the one who introduces him to Jesus. And
yes.
So yesterday in our scripture reading, we had John 1:35-42, and that details that for us. We find out that he's the son of John, or in Matthew 16:17, he's actually referred to as Simon bar Jonas, which
yes.
means Simon, son of Jonas. So his dad went by either John or Jonas, and that was common in scripture. They sometimes did slightly different variations of their name. He was a fisherman, because when Jesus called him, that's what he was doing. He was fishing with his brothers, and obviously he was friends with and companions of James and John, because they were also fishermen. And when Jesus called Peter, James and John were right next to it. So Amy, if you would go to Matthew, going to be chapter 4, verses 18-22, that's where Jesus first calls them to follow him.
Oh, I'd be happy to. Verse 18 starts out this way. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in their boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. So I see the word immediately a couple of times.
Yes, that's one of those things that just talks about the urgency. And truly, they responded with obedience, promptly, to Jesus Christ. And so there is something about Jesus that demands a response.
Yes.
I think.
Do we know, I always pictured Peter being kind of the older of all of the disciples, but that could be my own misinformation. Do we know ages of these men?
Well, scripture doesn't tell us, but there's a hint in that usually the person who's listed first would be the elder.
Okay.
And so throughout the Gospels, after we have that instance where Andrew introduces Peter to Jesus. Ever after that, it starts with Peter.
Ah.
And then, I'm glad you brought that up, Amy, because also we know that Peter is one of the inner three disciples, that inner circle that did special things with Jesus, that he took to certain healings, he took to the Mount of Transfiguration, and it was always listed as Peter, James, and John.
Ah,
and
okay.
So Peter, in all the lists of the disciples, is listed first, and that really speaks to his leadership of the disciples.
Yeah, I never noticed that before, but that's good to know.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, so it tells us that's another fact, another little thing we're gleaning about Peter. He really was the leader, and we can see that in scripture, too. He's the one who says something first. He's the one who jumps in and does something, and I think he probably was a naturally born leader, but Jesus also chose him.
Yeah.
To develop him for that role. The other thing I'm going to say is, if we look at Luke's account of that calling of Jesus, and this is Luke 5:1-11, during that account, because it also involved Jesus telling them to put their nets down on the other side of the boat, and then they brought in an overwhelming catch of fish, And Peter immediately recognizes that there's something special about Jesus because he falls down before him and he says, "Depart from me because I'm a sinful man."
Ah.
And so again, we find Peter is quick to pick up on certain things. I mean, God has given him the ability to kind of discern things. And I think from that, we can also tell Peter is a very sincere man. He acts on what he believes to be true.
And he also kind of hints that he knows his standing before holiness.
Right. I think it speaks to Peter actually knowing God the Father as revealed in the Old Testament scriptures, because he knew himself to be a sinner.
Ah, interesting.
Mm-hmm. A couple other things about Peter we find as we go through the Gospels, we find out that he lived on the north side of Galilee. Initially, when we look at John 1:44, it says that he's from the village of Bethsaida. And then later on in Mark 1:29-31, it talks about Peter being in Capernaum, which is a village not too far away from that. So perhaps they moved, don't know the details. But from that account in Mark, we find out that Peter actually had a house and he had a mother-in-law because Jesus came and healed the mother-in-law.
Yes. So he was married.
He must have been, you know. And then later on, we know for sure he's married because in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 9, it talks about, Paul's talking about how some of the apostles and Peter, Cephas, bring their wives on their missionary journeys. And
so
he had a wife who accompanied him as he was a missionary. And we also know he traveled fairly extensively because he's mentioned in Acts and also in Paul's writing.
Yes. And, you know, this is the thing about Peter is that he is so fallible. He's impetuous. He likes to speak first before thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And I can relate many times to the way Peter reacts. I've kind of seen a little bit of myself in him sometimes.
Well, you know, James talks about how controlling the tongue is so difficult.
Yes.
That's probably all of our greatest challenge.
It sure is.
You know, just talking about Peter as the disciple, Amy, I'm going to have you look at Matthew 16, verses 13 to 17,
right,
because this is a highlight of Peter's kind of time as a disciple, as a follower of Jesus. And so if you'll read that, that'll be really good to help us understand Peter, the follower.
It says, "When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, 'Who do the people say the Son of Man is?' They replied, 'Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets.' 'But what about you?' he asked. 'Who do you say I am?' Simon Peter answered, 'You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.' Jesus replied, 'Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven.'" Wow.
Right. And so God the Father chose to reveal to Peter exactly who Jesus Christ was. So it's a highlight. It shows he's been given this astonishing revelation and he's able to verbalize it. Interestingly, though, the next words out of Peter's mouth, which are going to be the next part in the Bible there, are really going to be about his not understanding really why Jesus came, because he's going to tell Jesus not to go to the cross. So, Amy, if you would then go on and look at Matthew 16, verses 21 to 23, it's going to show us the other side of Peter, the human side that's looking at things from just his own point of view.
All right. It says, "From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. 'Never, Lord,' he said, 'this shall never happen to you.' Jesus turned and said to Peter, 'Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of man.'"
So Peter goes from just declaring Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and then he's actually instructing the Son of God in what he can and can't do and not understanding God's will or God's way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it just speaks to how quickly we can turn and go into our flesh and do what our flesh would think is important.
Yeah, I think you're right. Wow, and how quickly any one of us can do that.
And I think that's partly why just knowing a little bit about Peter's helps us in our Christian walk, because again, God used Peter, a man of great flaws, of great sin, and made him into a faithful follower who truly knew Jesus and proclaimed the gospel. You know, and as we think about Peter, we know his biggest fall really was his denying Jesus three times right before his crucifixion. And that's a tragedy, and I'm sure a grief for Peter his entire life. But God also used and redeemed that, I think. I think it broke Peter and made him into perhaps the apostle he came to be, because it made him, I would guess, more humble.
Yeah. I think it turned that idea of grace and made that very personal for him.
Exactly. And so I'll just let the ladies look at that later themselves. But Matthew 26, 69 to 75 is one of those references of Peter actually denying Jesus. Another important thing, though, about Peter, and what we need to consider as we read his first letter here and as we study it, is that Peter, as an apostle, was an eyewitness, again, of Jesus' life, of his teaching, of his death, and most importantly, of his resurrection. And so he is going to give us some key insights into some of those things he saw. Even in this letter, we'll be coming back to Jesus' life and hearing those things. And we'll also find he was given a special commission by Jesus. All of the disciples were told to go out and share the gospel and make disciples. But Peter himself had a very special commission. We're going to look at that in just a minute. That's okay. In John, the end of John. And this is after the resurrection and after Peter's denied Jesus. And then Jesus is going to go ahead and restore Peter to fellowship with him and actually give him a special commission, really. And he's told to be the shepherd or pastor or the person who tends the sheep, the flock of the church. And so we're going to turn to John 21, verses 15 to 19.
Okay, would you like me to, why don't I read that?
Yeah, thank you.
Jesus reinstates Peter is the title that I have in my version, and it says, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him a third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go.
Thank you, Amy. So we find Jesus in his grace is restoring Peter, but he's also giving him great responsibility. He's told to shepherd the church. And as we study this book, this letter of 1 Peter, I think we're going to see Peter's pastor's heart come out because he so desires the people to follow him. All right. Well, finally, Peter is an apostle. That means a sent one. And so he was given special authority to represent Jesus Christ. And as we kind of wrap up today, I'd like us all to just remember how if we are followers of Jesus Christ, if we've been born again, we also are sent ones. And so I'm going to give everyone an assignment of looking up 2 Corinthians 5 verses 14 to 21 and how it is that God desires each and every one of us to be his ambassador.
Great assignment, ladies. There are many other things to think about today as you reflect on who Peter is and what he came to do and how Jesus equipped him and commissioned him to do the work of the Lord. All right, we're going to leave it here. When we come back, Nancy and I will talk a little bit more about this assignment and have some additional insights. We'll be right back.